word. So this morning we are taking a break from our regular sermon series to celebrate Children's Sunday. You may be asking, why? We haven't had Sunday school in months. We haven't had school in general in months. Because the children in our midst, here and digitally attending, are important to God. And they are important to us. And it's a good thing for us to celebrate the next generation of followers of Christ, of the kingdom builders. Also, as we celebrate children, let me remind you that each and every one of us is a child of God. So we are celebrating you as well. You're a child, you're a child, you're a child, you're a child, you're a child. Everybody's a child. A child of God. But let me ask, what does a child of God look like? I am sure that if you were to watch the news, if you were to go online, you would get 100 different answers as to what a child of God looks like, what a child of God acts like, what a child of God thinks like. And I am sure that in there is some truth. But what I want to do, as we think about being a child of God, I want to reflect on the one time that we see the child of God, God the child, as a child. If you want to know what a child of God looks like, acts like, says, and does, this would be the place. Jesus is in this account, and we'll get there in just a second. He is 12 years old. He is my son Joshua's age. How does he act? Josh, we have had a running dialogue throughout this quarantine. Maybe it started before the quarantine. Of my wife reminding me that Joshua is only 12. He is a child. And he should be given some latitude as a child. But at the same time, he should be given the onset of responsibility as a child. Well, let's find out what Jesus did when he was 12. Jesus, first and foremost, maintained the cultural practices of his day. If we look at Luke chapter 2, we will see that what he is doing with his family is going to the temple, as was the custom of the day, three times a year. They would trek off from Nazareth in Galilee to Jerusalem three times a year for the three major feasts. Now, as we know from this account, it was one of those times when Jesus was 12, that he was in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. We also know from Jewish custom that between that time and the following Passover, Jesus would turn 13 and he would be a bar mitzvah. Now we think of bar mitzvah as a thing. Oh, I went to Joe's bar mitzvah. I went to Micah's bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah is actually a title. It means the son of the command. It means that this is a person, a child of God, who is committing themselves to knowing at least the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and following the righteous commands of God. They are, at that point, credited with being an adult. A bar mitzvah, or if you're a girl, a bat mitzvah, daughter of the command. And what would happen is, while they were 11 or 12, during the time that they would go to the Passover, for that week, they would have Hebrew school. And they would spend the week with teachers, so that when their bar mitzvah was announced, they would be prepared. And that's what Jesus is doing. He is in the temple, listening to the teachers, gaining what he needed to gain to understand what he needed to understand in order to be a son of the command, a child of the command. Jesus was simply doing what he was expected to do. However, we do need to understand that Jesus amazed his teachers by his questions and his answers. But we might think to ourselves, he was fully God and fully man, fully God, fully human. Certainly, he would have been able to impress the religious teachers of the day. Oh, yeah, you want to talk about creation? I remember that. Here's what happened. That's not in scripture. Well, that's how it happened. But that's not what happened. If we were to say that Jesus had full grasp of all the knowledge of God that he was endowed with as God himself, then verse 52 would be contradictory. How could he progress? How could he advance? How could he grow in wisdom if he is all wisdom? Instead, we need to look at Philippians 2:7, which says, rather, he made himself nothing, or he emptied himself by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. When Jesus came to earth, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he emptied himself of all of the attributes of God. Not the nature of God, but the attributes of God. He was not all-knowing. He was not all-powerful. He was not omniscient. And ultimately, everything he understood came from the Father. It was his upbringing and his very own character. And we see that not in knowing that Jesus was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word pitched his tent among us, became flesh, and dwelled among us. We know that because of the very first words we have recorded in Scripture that Jesus says. They are the words here. His very first words, the first words that Jesus uttered that were recorded by the gospel writers are this: why are you searching for me? Don't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Don't you know where I would be? Of course I'm here. It is our culture. It is our way of life. It is the way you raised me, that I would be here. We need, whether we are 12
or 20 or 50 or 80. We need to foster a culture of spiritual development. If you want to be a child of God, be like a child of God and participate in godly festivals as a part of our common culture. Attend worship. Listen to praise music. Worship the Lord in your daily lives. Participate in godly instruction. Attend a Bible study. Go to Sunday school. I will give a little commercial advertisement that on 7-7, July 7th at 7 o'clock, 7-7-7, can't miss it. We are going to have Tuesday night at 7. We're going to have Tuesday night Sunday school via Zoom. If you would like to participate in what would be a Sunday school class, but it's going to be Tuesday nights from 7 to 8, we'll get together at Zoom. We'll go through a Bible study together and you can participate in a culture of spiritual development. Excellent. God's children engage in godly customs and traditions. Secondly, Jesus modeled a submissive spirit. He is in the temple. He is studying. They are amazed at his answers and his questions. They are amazed at everything. His parents show up and say, "Why are you doing this to us? We are deeply pained by this. We have been searching everywhere for you." Sort of gives me a little bit of hope as a parent. Because I have, once I left one of my children, not in the car. I was here at the church. We were doing something. We were an assembly event. We were having a lunch. And I picked up one kid and I had Josh in the back, left him in the parking lot for like 2 minutes. Because Janine immediately says, "Where's Josh?" I said, "Oh yeah, he's still in the car." He was 6 months old. I have forgotten to pick up kids. I have misplaced them in malls and supermarkets and department stores. Not for a long period of time, but Josh in particular likes to hide under the racks of clothes. And so it's fun. But I also know that Mary and Joseph, they lost their son. They lost God's son for at least 3 days, maybe longer. It was one day that they realized, "Hey, wait a minute. Did you see Jesus at dinner?" "Oh, I didn't." "Well, maybe he's with the rest of this caravan. Let's go to everybody else." I don't know how long that took, but everyone of Jewish belief would have gone from Nazareth to Jerusalem, so there must have been a big crowd going from family to family, friend to friend. "Have you seen Jesus?" "Nope." "Have you seen Jesus?" "Nope." How long did that take? And then when they go back, it's 3 days later, and then they find him finally. I can understand how it says they were pained. But Jesus doesn't say, "I can't believe you forgot me. What do you think I've been doing for the last 3 days? Haven't had anything to eat." Jesus simply says, "Why were you searching for me?" And then immediately goes with them. And as verse 51 says, "Then Jesus went down to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them." The Lord of Lords, the King of all creation, willfully submitted to his mom and dad. And we need to be reminded that submitting to divinely appointed authorities did not diminish Christ, did not make him less of a Messiah. In fact, it was integral to his human existence. We would not be able to identify with Jesus, and Jesus would not be able to identify with us if he never was required to subject his will to someone else. Because me to a lesser degree, some of you to a much, much greater degree, are required to submit your will to authorities that are sometimes forgetful of us or dismissive of us. But it didn't diminish Christ. We are also called to the same standard. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. Colossians 3:23 says, our submission, our obedience, our respect are a reflection of our relationship with God, not our relationship with those in authority. And this means that most times we observe the routine rules of life. But it also means that there are times to resist ungodly regulations. And that's part of being a child of God. It's part of maturing. It's part of understanding our role in our relationship with God and others. That sometimes the mature thing to do is show respect. And sometimes the mature thing to do is respectfully disagree, demonstrate, and resist. So, if we want to be a child of God, if we want to look like a child of God, we need to foster a spirit of obedient respect, where we model at home a respect of our parents and our elders, where we model in school a respect for teachers and administrators, where we model at work a respect for our supervisors and shareholders, where we model in our society a respect for our leaders, our first responders, and the like. God's children exhibit respect through God-designed social structures. And then finally, verse 52. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus matured holistically. Here we have three different ways in which Jesus grew. He grew and advanced in wisdom, which includes intellectual development, knowledge, but it also includes common sense and decision-making ability, where not only do we know, but we can apply what we know. He advanced in maturity, which includes healthy physical patterns like diet and exercise and sleep. You know you're mature when you are willing to sleep when you're tired. But it also includes vocational skills. Exercising and training ourselves in our gifts and our abilities. And he advanced in grace. He grew in favor with God. Or he grew in the unmerited favor of God. He exhibited even in ever increasing manner the fruit of the Spirit. He grew in favor with people and showed social skills and sensitivities, the ability to speak and the ability to listen. Ultimately, if we want to be a child of God, we need to foster a godly lifestyle. And we do that by discovering and growing into who God created us to be, and then serving God in that shape. Using our spiritual growth, using our heart, using our abilities, our personality, and our experiences. And we challenge ourselves toward maturity. I could spend another hour here this morning talking about all the people we know that are not practicing maturity. But I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to say is, if we want to follow Christ, we need to begin challenging ourselves to grow in wisdom, to grow in maturity, in age. In, it says stature, it really is not. It's the same concept as, who of you by worrying could add an inch to his height? No one can do that anyway. Who of you can grow in maturity? And we need to challenge ourselves to mature in the way we treat one another. God's children are endlessly growing. In this passage, we see that Jesus modeled spiritual maturity by remaining observant, obedient, and open. Our sermon in a sentence is this: age is never a restriction to living like the Lord. Age is never a restriction to living like the Lord. So if you are 12, like Joshua, you can follow Jesus' example. If you're 54, like I am, you can follow Jesus' example. If you are 86, and I have no one here or online that is 86, so if you're 86, you can follow Jesus' example. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, you can follow Jesus' example and maintain a biblical culture, model a submissive spirit, and mature in every aspect of life. Whatever your age, whatever your experience, we can all grow in some area of our lives, wisdom or stature or favor. And so today, Children's Sunday, is a good day. It's as good a day as any to begin and to be a little more like a child of God. Participate in a Bible study, practice obedience, serve with your whole self. Because age is never a restriction to living like the Lord. Shall we pray?